This rig rundown is presented by the Yamaha DXR Series.
Hey everybody, this is John Bollinger in Nashville, Tennessee. We are minutes before the Fall Out Boy show, and I'm with Joe Troman, the guitar player. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, man. How are you?
I'm great, man. Why don't you talk a little bit about these very cool guitars you have out?
Oh, thank you for saying that they're cool.
Your signature.
Yes.
Can we start with the sig?
Yeah, this is my signature guitar that's awesome. You know, Fender makes or Squire makes. It's a tobacco burst guitar. I really used to like my, the Gibson RDs, like the Moog guitars. I was like the tobacco burst in those, like kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a little more unique, quote unquote, than Sunburst. Yeah. And they had just like a, you know, very Tele Deluxe style, fat strat headstock, nice, easy to grip neck. I don't know, check it out. It's pretty.
Easy to grip.
Pretty easy to grip, you know, right? Yeah. Easy to grip, cool. The only thing I replaced on here really is like I changed, so it's like a, you know, it's a, like a six-way selector, you know, for different blending, obviously. I switched it to a chicken head just so I could flick it very quickly on stage, but it's usually just a regular, you know, volume tone knob style.
So it comes stock with just
Stock, and I just change that around later when I realized playing it live in action that it wasn't really doing it for me.
So yeah.
Otherwise, everything else I play is the way the guitar comes out of the box. Got a kill switch in there for kind of little fun, noisy things. Plus, it's also nice on stage when I want to actually literally kill it really quickly.
Yeah.
When I'm doing something dumb on stage or something where I don't want to make a bunch of noise.
Sure.
But it's great for little kind of Tom Morello-y type, you know, effects as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. So your pickup selection actually comes through that.
It comes through that, yeah.
And that's more of an effect kill switch
thing. Kill switch thing, yeah. So,
that's cool.
We always used to do kind of mock versions of that in all the old hardcore bands we played in.
Yeah.
And we always kind of wanted to get like noisy feedback stuff and be able to kind of do staccato rhythmic stuff with it.
Yeah.
And this is the slightly less poor man's way of doing that. So
awesome. Is it two volumes, one tone?
Two volumes, one tone. So it's kind of cool the way you can like blend the pickups and then mess with the tone, the volume a little bit and kind of attain some different kind of pickup configurations and kind of get pretty deep into it if you want to. So yeah.
And these are stock Fender pickups in it?
Stock Fender pickups. Yeah.
Great.
Probably like what's similar to like the HH stuff, which all sounds really nice. A little more like PAF style, so they're like a little fuzzy. So I usually play through some pretty high gain stuff to kind of like, I usually play through amps and overdrives and stuff that have a little more compression to them, and it goes really well with the pickups. So I still kind of get like a mixture between a modern and vintage sound, sort of.
And you, I mean, you switch up things in the studio quite a bit, but
yes.
Do you play this one quite a bit in the studio as
well? Yeah, I didn't really get like a final one until the, till Save Rock and Roll, the record that we had most recently made. So that's fairly, you know, all over the record here and there. Yeah. Obviously, you're going to pick a guitar that works for a certain part, but this thing's, you know, surprisingly very versatile.
Awesome, man. And I love that big headstock.
The fat strap, yeah.
Always. More sustained.
It's meaty. It's nice looking, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing to people. And people love to say that this is not a Telecaster because it is not single coils. And it's not. It's my guitar.
Right.
It's its own thing, man.
Yeah.
If you want another Telecaster, go. They make them.
Yeah.
They're awesome, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool to have your signature actually have its own appointment.
Yeah, exactly. It's its own thing. So, I mean, but I think that being said, it's relatively versatile, you know, for. It's good for rock. It's good. I've used it, you know, I played in at a prototype of it when I was playing in this band called The Damned Things, which is with some of the guys from Anthrax and Every Time I Die. So a pretty heavy band, and it worked well in that. It works for, you know, chicken picking country stuff, you know, clean things, bluesy things, you know, jazzy stuff. It works pretty well. I'm pretty excited. Fender was, like, really awesome about working on this with me and making sure it was, like, its own unique guitar.
Yeah. Man, what an honor too.
I mean, I don't deserve a signature guitar.
Man, you clearly do. That's awesome.
That's nice of you to say, but I don't deserve one. I'm very happy to have one, and it's really cool. I'm very honored. It's like, you know, it's my favorite. You know, Fender guitars, especially Tellys, have always been like my style. So
awesome. Yeah. Great. Well, let's look at some of the other. You've got a lot of these. A lot of your signatures is backups.
Yeah.
But then you carry other
there's a ton of backup. This is like a glow-in-the-dark version that we had used on a tour. And
we have to look at this.
You want to look at it? Yeah. I mean,
just
obviously, it's not going to glow right now.
It glows in the dark. We have to see that.
Yeah, it has to, like, it's kind of like Superman where it needs to get powered up by the sun all day. So it has to sit in the sun and then it glows very well at night.
Now, are they issuing this model as well?
They're not issuing this model.
They totally should.
This is it. Yeah, it would be very cool.
Yeah.
But again, that would mean that people would have to get it to glow in the dark, go throw it in the backyard and let it cook in the sun for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, which could look actually really cool, but yeah. It probably will stop glowing in the dark pretty soon.
Yeah, awesome.
So that's neat, whatever. We just used it. We had kind of like had a little gimmick on our last tour where we all had glow in the dark versions of our instruments.
Cool.
I love this guitar. Just a 90s American standard that I threw like just a little hot DiMarzio hot rail and then like a little DiMarzio kind of bluesy neck pickup in there, and it this thing really, really rips. It's still got like that kind of tinny, jangly telly vibe, but then it's very high gain, and it it has a lot of really practical applications for the music that I play now because of just the way I changed things out a little.
Yeah, and you guys made your debut in, what was it, like, was it 2004?
Fall Out Boy?
Yeah.
Like 2000, well, we started the band in like 2000, 2001.
And you had your deal, like your first album was it like 2004,
2000? I think around 2004, 2005, somewhere.
Was this with you all that time?
No, I actually, when Fall Out Boy went on break and I was, started working on the band The Damn Things, I moved to New York from Chicago and all of my gear was in storage and I called up, my dude from Fender, and I'm like, hey man, can you just help me like get a guitar? I'll buy it. I just need like something really quick. And so he called SIR in New York and let me borrow this guitar. And then I was like, can I buy this guitar from him?
Oh,
it was just that special.
That was the one.
There's something very special. It just sounds really good. It plays well. I feel very connected to it, as other guitar players probably understand that kind of connection.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I just love it. And it's like, it's like relatively heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got like a lot of body to it, which I feel probably assists in the really solid tone.
Yeah.
It's very thick sound for sure.
And high miles on that guitar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man. That's cool.
A lot of people that were not me have played this as well as myself, which is nice. It's nice and worn in. So it's a very comfy guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
very
it. Very
cool.
Yeah.
Great.
I got that guy. Fender just sent me this Starcaster.
Oh.
Which, I mean, come on, man. This headstock
cool.
is so gnarly looking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love that they reissued these and the Coronados, which are like two of my favorites. Probably a lot of other guitar players say the same thing.
Yeah.
I've heard them say the same thing. It sounds awesome. It plays great. I mean, it is totally confusing to people that don't know a lot about guitars.
Right.
They see this headstock and they see that it says Fender on it and they're like,
Yeah. It's so big and garish.
It's huge, yeah. And,
awesome.
I'm not a big guy, so it looks really funny. Pete said the other day when we were playing, out of his peripheral vision, he thought I was playing a stand-up bass. That is how big I am. A real big guy. But yeah, this thing sounds great. Plays awesome.
Cool.
It looks cool. This is like a Gretsch Historic series, I think also from the 90s. It actually used to belong to my friend who bought it to play guitar, never played guitar, left it under his bed, and then years later when we both lived in New York and he was getting his master's in psychology, I saw the guitar and I'm like, can I just buy it off you? And it is also similarly to that American Standard, very special in the way that it just plays very well and it just sounds awesome. I've used this on a lot of records actually.
Huh. You're loud, man. Do you get feedback problems?
Oh yeah, tons of feedback
problems.
But
that's problems. Like part
of your thing though. Yeah, yeah. I use it in like really, I was using it a lot when we did acoustic stuff. I would finger pick just clean through this thing,
cool.
which sounded great. I've been meaning to throw some like TV Jones in here or something just to kind of quiet it up, but we've been using it like on a relatively noisy song where I use a lot of very noisy effects, so it works well. I just have to be very quick about turning the volume down or hitting the volume pedal or muting it somehow in between. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, the pickups definitely respond really well to fuzz and overdrive. It sounds great, and it's insanely gross sounding in a good way, but yes, it's incredibly noisy.
That's a great way to put it. And that volume, like you play, man, they can get away from you pretty quickly.
Oh, insanely quickly. You have to be like, it's definitely, when you're running those kind of after amp effects with this guitar, you will, you're working a little harder. If you're planning on trying to control any of the noise, you know, you have to work, it's a workout. To a degree, a mental workout more than anything. But I just play it on like one song now since it's just been out with us, but I was using it primarily actually for cleaner stuff for a while. But I've used it kind of on some more like rock stuff, where especially where it's like more classic rocky and stoner rock kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, it just responds so well to fuzz.
Yeah, cool.
Any big muff kind of sounds.
Yeah, but it's very alive.
Oh, it's very alive. Then there's this guy.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Burkett, who does electrical guitars and now does all the new Travis Beans.
Right.
He built this for me years ago, and I asked him to put a B bender in it, which he couldn't do, which I understand he couldn't do, but he's, I think, like, too nervous to tell me or something. I'm not sure. So the guitar sat around for like 2 years, and I was like, hey, man, what happened? He's like, oh, I've been trying to put that B bender in. I'm like, just don't do it. It's fine. But it's beautiful, and because I wanted a black and white paisley pick guard, it's kind of ugly in a way, but in a way that I like it.
Yeah, awesome.
I had the pick, obviously, soap bars, flipped them upside down to kind of get that Hendrix-y kind of like bottom sound to the high strings.
Oh, really? Wow. So who makes those? Are they like a
proprietary? Kevin makes the pickups as well. Yeah. Electrical makes them. Yeah. So it's all, other than the Bigsby, and obviously like probably some of the hardware and stuff, it's a lot of it's just, he just makes it. Yeah.
No, is the neck actually metal?
Yeah, it's a metal neck, aluminum.
Wow.
Aluminium.
Like on a cold day, does the neck just like feel
cold?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We have like what is it? What is it? It's like CO2 blasters on stage sometimes. And we found out very quickly when I was using on one song and then it would end with the CO2 blasters to switch guitars, because it would just go way more out of tune than a guitar with a wood neck.
Yeah.
So it does respond to cold, definitely. Yeah. But it sounds awesome. And you know, it does have like a metallic kind of tinny sort of sound, but in a very cool way, in a jangly kind of evil way. And I think some of those kind of sounds are just why I like using tellies and like with more overdriven, heavier tones. I think that stuff can sometimes sound more menacing than just a super heavy 8-pound Les Paul with, you know, raging humbuckers in it.
Yeah.
This is a cool sounding guitar.
And it's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.
It's very cool. It's a very specific taste for sure.
Yeah. Do you use the Bigsby quite a bit on that?
Yeah, just a little like, just a little flourishy kind of like extra stuff. I'm not doing like any cool lead stuff with the Bigsby. This band doesn't really call too much for that stuff. I use it like a little bit, just kind of like for a little extra vibrato or something, for a little more emotion and feel on certain licks and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's pretty much,
it. Yeah, that's pretty much everything. Super cool in here. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, we're going to talk to your tech about the rest of the stuff. And man, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a great tour. Congrats on all your success.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for talking.
Yeah. We're here with the guitar tech, Josh Newton. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
All right. Now, tell us about the rest of the rig.
Well, we've got the Fender reissue Model Ts, the Suns. A lot of the tone, you know, mafia say that they're not as good as the originals, and they're not.
Which
they're different.
Hendrix played, right? I mean, he did at one.
I don't know if he played the Model Ts, but he was a Sun man.
Yeah, so at the end of his run,
the Marshalls. I don't know. We like these a lot. They sound badass. So I think everyone should not like them, so we can get more of them cheaper. Is I think what we should do.
Yeah.
They're like 2,000 watts. No, they're not. But they're very loud. They're too loud.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Plenty of bottom end. And
now although you have two, one's a backup, right? So
which
you're ruined.
I've only had to go to once in this year and a half cycle. Oh. But we also switch amps out a lot. We use other companies. You know, we use a lot of Orange stuff as well. And we change stuff out a lot.
Sure.
Just because, you know,
it's
you get
bored.
Part of
the fun. Yeah.
It's part of the addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are how many watts?
These are 120.
120 and four 6L6s?
Yes. Oh. And they are hot and loud and hot.
Tell me about like
this fan is generally in the back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, what was the melting plastic story?
Well, Joe and I did a band together and we were playing really small shows, like house shows and just weird little shows. And they get hot enough to melt items if you put items on top of them. Yeah, even though there's no vents on top, thank God. But
nice.
Yeah, it was a smooth move. We don't do that anymore.
Good. Okay, so your main one, your backup,
should
you need it, but you've only needed it
one
once.
Time.
Oh, that's great.
And it was just because I think someone loaded the case into the truck upside down, so we had a little tube issue.
Little pilot error.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely operator error.
Yeah. And running into what kind of cabinets?
This goes to an orange 212 cab that is in a secret location offstage.
Buried far, far away.
Yes.
Because it's loud.
As I said, it's loud. We've got Delay Village here.
Good.
The Giga Delay by The Boss. It's 225 milliseconds for a little tape loopy, gets a little warbly at the end.
Are you doing a tap from the mastermind?
We're not tapping. Right now I just have it controlling individual loops for each pedal, and then I set up presets for each song.
Oh.
So it's a lot less thinking for either of us.
Yeah,
basically.
And you've got the tempo you want. Anyway,
yeah, so. I mean, I set them close to, and there's nothing that's super, super time tempo related. Just kind of like basically a fast and a slow delay and a slapback. Okay. And then the reverb.
Okay, cool.
So that's...
And you're powering them with?
Those are the fuel tank jammers. They're great. They work.
Cool.
They literally work.
So that's Delay World. And yes. then what's next?
Then we have some... Well, there's a little more delay, actually, I forgot about.
Yeah.
The Mr. Black Eterna pedal, which is like a pitch shifty reverb.
Mm,
it's
cool.
Insane. It's super awesome. I'd never heard of it until we were at Pro Guitar Shop and couldn't leave without it.
Yeah.
So then we have
Joe gets a lot of like spacey sounds.
He's
spacey, swirly.
As the band has gone on, instead of being more like riffy, his parts have become more color with the new songs.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
cool.
That's
a cool element.
Then we've got the Catalan Bread, Dirty Little Secret, is the main boost, which is awesome. And then our friends at Fuzzrocious made the Demon King, which is based on a popular distortion pedal, but it's got a gate and an octave up as well.
Cool.
So that's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
And then we've just got the Boss octave pedal for other octaves.
Sure. Sure. Very cool.
And then... We have the Van Halen MXR Phase 90.
Awesome.
The Electro-Harmonix Stereo Pulsar for a tremolo. The Fat Rat, the brand new Fat Rat.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty awesome. It sounds really cool. We like it a lot. And then just the Rocktron silencer thing.
Very cool. And then are you running a Hush up here as well?
I do a Hush before and after the effects.
Oh.
So it's, and both on pretty minimally, because you know nobody wants their notes chopped off.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. It's that it has to be kind of judicious.
And then we can still be, you know, there's dynamics and stuff. So
sure.
Yeah. So I figure if you put them barely on at the front and the back, it kind of works out a little better.
Yeah, very cool.
It doesn't clamp down so hard.
So the signal starts with the Shure wireless.
Yep. So it goes from the Shure to the switcher, out to his pedal board. And then back in to the RJM effects gizmo. So then you see all the loops that we have.
Yeah.
And then into the suns and oranges and ears.
And then on this pedal board.
This is what he has out in front of him. The Boss tuner, because you gotta stay in tune.
Yeah.
The Earthquaker Devices Rainbow Machine, which makes weird woobly noises. It's cool.
Cool.
It sounds like a spaceship taking off or on, I don't know. The Ibanez Delay, which is the poor man's Moog. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Nobody should buy those, because I want to buy them all. The Digitech Whammy, the newest one, which is awesome, because you can do the chord thing, or you can switch it back to the old glitchiness, so you can sound like Johnny Greenwood.
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
Right.
And then his Mastermind.
Yeah. So is the one backstage, the Mastermind, is that just a redundancy in case something goes down?
It's a slave, so I can do switching for him when he's off.
Out front or away from the board.
Doing his gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
And he's getting rad.
Great, great. Hey, man, well, thanks so much for joining us. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we're here with Patrick Stump. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, yeah.
Hey, this is your signature, right?
Yes, my Stump-O-Matic.
Stump?
Yeah, yeah,
awesome.
They gave me an O-Matic name, which that's an honor, really.
Yeah, so. Totally. Totally, yeah. So tell me about it.
So basically, when I had this designed, I was really going for a Swiss Army knife. I wanted something that could do, that could accomplish everything. I you know, I have a big collection of vintage guitars and it's really fun to play around with them, but on stage, on a tour, I want something consistent and easy that can, you know, there's not that much to it in terms of, you know, switch this, switch that, whatever.
Yeah.
And this is what we came up with. Basically, so there's the three pickup, strung through the body, and the Megatron pickups. One of the things that's great about that, about the three of them, I have a selector between series or parallel.
Oh, cool.
And there's only one tone, one volume, but I'm either using one or all, you know, sure. And affecting the tone evenly. So for me, that helps a lot because then I can accomplish a pretty wide range of, you know, everything from your kind of like, you know, Gibson-y chug kind of thing to like a Telecaster twang, you know, even when I have all blazing at once and I really let it out, it reacts wonderfully to like an acoustic emulator. It sounds
really
uniquely acoustic-y. I mean, you know, when through the emulator.
Sure.
So basically it accomplishes everything I need, and that was the whole point.
Well, and it's a beautiful design.
Thank you. That was my contribution to the design itself was the racing stripe.
Yeah,
you know?
I love the racing stripe. Yeah. Hey, does it come with that drop?
No, this was added. This was something we added because we use it so frequently. These guys hold tune remarkably, so I don't find myself having to switch guitars all that often. And once we put this on, it, you know. That removed the need to switch guitars almost entirely.
Right.
So,
and you're touring exclusively with this Stomp-O-Matic.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I've tried other things, and like I said, this just really accomplishes everything that I need it to, you know, as best as I would want it. You know, I there's such a great reactive range to it. It you know, when you, depending on what you're putting it through, it can be, you know, that brutal, it, you know, you can play metal on it, you can play jazz on it, you can play whatever, and it still sings for each thing, you know.
How cool. So. It's so cool that you guys all have your signature instruments, but they're all like uniquely their own thing, man.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really, you know, it kind of shows how we are, you know, because like I said, I'm in a studio, I'm the kind of guy that I want to spend hours on mic placement. But I want to set it and forget it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll spend forever trying to figure out my drum chain or my, you know, my what I'm putting all my guitars through, everything. But I want to leave it. And this is a great guitar for that. I actually use this predominantly in the studio too.
Wow.
I don't really, I have this vintage guitar collection, and nine times out of 10, this will match, if not beat, a lot of my stuff. So.
Wow, that's great, man. That's great. So the vintage stuff is at home appreciating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're destroying that
stuff
on the road. Great. So when you're not playing that, you're playing one of your acoustics?
Yeah, when I have to switch really quickly, I use the acoustic emulator with this. But when I have like a full acoustic song, I'm playing one of these guys. I just like them. They react really well to DI-ing, you know. It's not quite that metallic, you know, flat, flappy sound that you get a lot from DI-ing an acoustic. But it's also a really nice small scale, and I'm a little dude.
And it's a composite body?
Yeah, I'm not 100% what it's made out of, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just picked it up and played it and liked it. And that's really, you know, how it should be, right?
Sure, so. Yeah. Well, and for as much as you guys are on the road, man, that's the way to go.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is that I will record with this once in a while too, as an A-B kind of, you know, an alternate sound. It mics up really well, but live, it's one of my favorite to just plug in and you know, I can feel like I'm playing, you know, a little private acoustic show for all these
awesome.
People.
Yeah, private acoustic show for 30,000 people. Yeah, yeah. Now, when you go to Europe, are you just traveling with like this guitar and your signature, and then
basically? So we have a few that we'll kind of like earmark and you know at any given time, because I have I have about, I want to say six of my signature that rotate depending on where we are, you know. Sure. So these are here right now. Yeah. Or my tech is just saying he knows the answer. He does. He knows everything. But they all, you know, if we have to be in, you know, Germany or whatever, those will fly ahead, and these ones will stay with me. You know, whatever. We have a lot of rotating.
Sure, preset.
That goes on. Yeah. So, yeah. But for the most part, we try and keep it all the same stuff. So, yeah. So it's really predominantly this as my acoustic and my Stump-O-Matic as my main electric. So.
Okay, cool. Let's talk amps and pedals.
Yeah, so I've tried a lot of different things amp-wise. Again, especially on the road, my philosophy is very different than it is in a studio. I'm very set it and forget it. I want something versatile. I want something, you know, that can be kind of a workhorse, and that's it. Right. I'm not one of these guys that likes to, you know, I don't want a ton of guitar changes. I don't want a ton of amps to mess with. I want it consistency. Yeah. And this is pretty awesome. I'm very happy with my Dual Dark. So I tried a bunch of different Orange stuff. I tried actually a bunch of different amps in general, but I was really knocked out by this. When you want to distort it, and a lot of our older songs are, you know, you're really going for just a straight heavy, you know, like balls metal tone. This distorts in such a great resonant way, you know, where you get all that crunch, but you can play an open chord on it and still you know, still hear it, you know.
Right, have that and, definition of notes.
It's amazing for that. But then the thing that really impressed me is the clean channel as well. Between the two of them, I mean, it's like having two awesome amps. You know, I used to actually use two amps to accomplish the same thing. So the fact that I can get that, you know, that's. Yeah. The extent of my pedal setup on stage is just my channel switcher.
Really?
Yeah, because it's...
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm dealing with myself, yeah. Because, yeah. Again, I like to streamline it, and I like to, you know...
Yeah.
So which, you know, and that's pretty self-explanatory, you know. It's just find your tone, and you're good.
Do you have a backup for this as well?
Yeah, so for the time being, our backup is a Dark Terror.
Oh,
so
cool.
which I've also been happy with, but this, you know, this has balls. This has
awesome.
Serious balls.
What kind of cabinet are you running into?
So this is all off stage. I'm back here somewhere, facing away.
Yeah.
And what is that actually? It's just an Orange 212,
So I'll answer stock that. Orange 212.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my cabinet is just a stock Orange 212, it's awesome. I mean, it's definitely between the two of them. For a while I was trying to go, you know, headless. I was trying to go with emulators.
Yeah.
But mainly because of consistency, I wanted something safe that I could trust.
Yeah.
And so far, this hasn't let me down. So.
Awesome. Okay, so. Amp, one amp,
yes.
Channel switching, and then let's talk your whole signal chain.
Yeah. So basically, I have my channel switcher, and then Brian, my tech, will switch for different songs. Pretty exclusively, the only thing that gets affected is my clean channel. All my heavy channel is just straight out of that.
Yeah.
So depending on certain songs, I have my acoustic emulator. I have my digital reverb, I have my super octave, which I love, and then there's a noise suppressor and there's an EQ pedal that's just mostly Brian deals with, these three, between those three and that amp, I get such an array of sounds, and basically, you know, he switches it on for whatever song it is, and whenever I switch in, that's my selected tone, so.
Matt, and I think the reason your overdrive, you know, cuts so well is because it is just an amp and a guitar.
And that's,
you know,
the thing is that we tried a lot of different things. I tried a lot of pedals. I tried, I tried any manner of different chains, it's just so muscular and strong. And so I'm very less is more right now.
Very cool.
This is my secret weapon for a few parts, and it just shines so well, especially with such a simple chain. You know.
Yeah. So. Very cool. So, starts with a Shure Wireless, handful of pedals.
I'm going to let Brian talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the chain is a little bit, you know, he has a lot more control over
that.
That's
why you have Tex.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, thanks so much. Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Have a great tour. And
thanks a lot
for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, hey. Here with Brian Diaz, one of the techs for Fall Out Boy. Brian, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you.
Okay, take it. Let's hear everything that the other guys have not covered.
You know, yeah, I was watching Patrick go over his rig, and you know, this is the newest addition to the whole thing. It's awesome, and we've always had this sort of setup with the noise suppressor, and I'll activate his stuff on his clean channel for when he needs it for the reverb, and I kind of get down there and tweak it because he has like a couple songs where it's like really like blown out sounding reverb and the acoustic simulator. So I
so
kind of have to like
twist and
well,
knobs.
I'm twisting knobs during the show, and I'm like watching him, making sure we're hitting at the same time, so we're kind of in sync on that.
Yeah, cool.
But I think a big thing that he missed, I probably forgot about it. Originally, we were doing this when we had this just the Tiny Terrors. We were going directly into the Palmer with no speaker cabinet. So the speaker cabinet is even for these guys is sort of a new thing. Not a new thing. They were using live speakers. Then we got rid of them for a while, and we were just going directly into the Palmer.
Oh.
And it has like it's weird. I like it, but it has a weird kind of it's a little but like fuzzy sound to it. That's not I don't think it's very natural. I mean, it does emulate a speaker pretty well, but having the speaker itself is.
So are you still running the Palmer?
We are running. Like for front of house, he's taking a signal from both, so he's getting
cool.
And in his ears. He's hearing more mic than this, but it's in there, and it is part of the overall tone of what we're hearing in the guitar. And these boxes are great. They're better than the Junction box. They gave us those to like try out.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, these guys are kind of like, you know, you can adjust a little bit of the EQ on it just on the unit itself. So yeah, we were doing that, and then this is the old way we used to do our clean sounds.
Oh, really?
So this is just here. Don't look at this anymore. this was we were just going clean right through this, but as of the last week, this is the new thing, so we don't even need that anymore. It's kind of obsolete.
Yeah. So PG fans, all this stuff is going to be obsolete by the time it's
But you know, it's been a work in progress. It's pretty steady. Like the wireless has been the same. We've had Palmers for a long time. Always using these because we're doing so much wireless, you know, channel switching here. And the pedals have been the same. We, you know, in the back there's an EQ, and there's also a hum eliminator just to, you know, all that to get all the noise. When you're running this much stuff, you know, it's so high gain, you're going to get a little bit of hum and buzz, but this rig's it's pretty silent as it is.
Yeah. Well, you guys get killer tones too, man.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. We were going to do a shootout with this, and he wanted to try a rock reverb. And we just plugged this thing in, and he's like, don't worry about it. He's like, we got it. We'll just use this.
Yeah, that's great.
This is both rigs, actually. This is because I also tech for Pete,
the
bass player.
So this is the bass rig, too. Okay.
The bass rig is the Sansamp. Right into the Sansamp, right to front of house. And, you know, a while ago,
bass, you're going wireless Sansamp house.
No cabinet. He was, for a long time, he's a Fender artist, and Fender, we had Fender amps, we had a Fender pre and a power amp. And the pre was getting direct, and that was a signal that they were taking. And on stage, he had the cabinets just for feel. And one day I was like, I'm gonna unplug the cabinets and see if he notices during sound check. And he didn't even notice it. He's like, I didn't even know. He's like, I thought they were just dummies. He's like, there's a wall of subs here. Like, you feel it. Like the one cabinet is not providing the all that feel. I was like, well, we take that out of the equation. It's one less thing that's we're carrying around.
Right.
And you know, the Sansamp sounds great. I used it for a few other bands that I had worked for with Sum 41, Guns N' Roses. They were just they were getting a lot of their sound right off the Sansamp. So.
Oh.
I was like, let's do that. Let's try that. And
simple, man. Tried and true.
You know, he's still a Fender artist. Still gets all his basses from Fender. So
yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Perfect. Hey, well, speaking of basses, let's talk about some of this.
All right.
Okay, so this is one of the signatures.
This is the Pete Wentz signature. It's Squire Fender P bass. This is basically the stock version you get you pick up at a store.
Very cool. And it comes with that 12th fret?
It has the 12th fret inlay right there is his logo, the bat with the diamond. There's a couple things that I've done to it. Like, I take the pickups out and put in, I put in the quarter pound, the bass lines. They have a different kind of punch to them. They come normally with Duncan designs, which yeah. sound fine. Like, it's, I think the thing is that this is a pretty low price bass for, like fans of the band that want to start playing instruments. It's a yeah. great place to start. It's yeah. pretty. It's, you know, it's a solid instrument. I also add the hip shot extender to it.
Yeah.
Because they do a lot of
so drops D,
drop D, yeah, drop D, and then standard E tuning. So, you know, instead of having to switch out all the time, like,
right.
we'll just do it that way. And then, you know, this is the really basic model of this bass.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, you'll see in the store. Really, the only difference is the pickups. And he used to, back in the day, used to wire straight past the volume, so it was always on.
Really?
Yeah, because he's like, he would forget to turn it on, and he'd just run around and start playing, and be like, my bass isn't working. I'm like, just, you know, turn it on, turn it up. Because he's you know, he's doing all the talking, and he's yeah. running around all over the place, and he's knocking to it, but I've graduated it to working volume knobs now, which is pretty cool.
That's great,
and it's this, there's that one, and then the custom shop model of it, which we just had, the custom shop model got brought out. This is a PJ one.
Oh, very cool.
They were doing some new songs that needed kind of a different bass tone.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm like, you really only have this one bass. I'm like, and it just has the full bore, just volume or no volume, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what if we did something that had, you know, more of tone options? And it's got, you know, the blend with a center notch for the, between the P and the J, and then just a tone knob, and cool. it's also like, it's a Meteor. It's got a string through body.
Oh, cool.
And it comes with, you know, it came with these, and I actually added the hip shot to it later, just because when we put it through to the custom shop, we hadn't really started using the hip shots yet, and those, or, you know, like the Fender custom shop takes a while, so.
Yeah.
They're like, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this bass and we didn't put anything on it, so we added it later. This one's getting a lot more use on this tour.
Cool.
But this is a one of a kind. There is no other Pete Wentz Fender PJ bass. So this is one of one.
Very cool.
And then he's got, you know, he has them in different colors. He's got the purple one, and then the other one that's really different.
Oh, is this guy over
is
here?
This one here. Well, watch that there, yeah.
Oh, let me have you do
yeah.
it. Sorry.
No, it's sorry. Fine. Sorry, we broke the headstock.
Yeah,
no.
yeah.
All right. This one is just, it was another stock Pete Wentz bass. It's got this giant pack on it because it's got a GoPro camera built into it.
How
which
cool.
wirelessly transmits to our video screens. So
oh,
you can be.
Really?
Yeah, so that's why it's got this whole, like, transmitter system
oh,
on it.
Wow.
So. He's like,
so he's,
you know, he's on stage,
feed.
Real-time feed. He can, and our video guy, Brooks, is back there. this is our daily, this is how we became closer. He gets a feed that goes to the video world, and if he's got a good shot, and he kind of likes to, like, throw it in, like, the other band guys' faces or maybe out into the crowd and do a little shot, and it'll go real-time to the screen.
Did you have to modify the GoPro to get it in there, or?
No, they actually, we sent this to Fender, and they cut out a little cavity for it. They stuck it in there. Originally, they had it so that we would turn it on and off, and like maybe they built it so it can take it out.
Yeah.
But Brooks, our video director here, he did all this wiring of the wireless, you know, wireless transmitting and stuff. And it was like a little experiment it went live, you know, we're
How
using
cool,
it.
How cool, man.
Yeah, it's also one of a kind.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Very cool.
You know.
And it's cool that he plays his signature, you know.
He plays, you know, and he plays the bass that you can get in the store. It's not like he's playing some, I mean, other than the custom shop one.
Yeah.
Which was like sort of our, like, you know, we came up with this idea. We need to have this bass with all these features on it, but. The one that he's using for most of the set is one that you can go to a guitar center and get, or go to, you know, get a musician's friend or whatever, you know, like wherever wherever you get your guitars.
Yeah.
You can get the Pete ones, and the Pete ones P bass model. It's not really that not that pricey, and it's like a work. It's the workhorse bass.
How cool, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's pretty rad.
Man, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great tour.
Thank you.
Okay. Cheers. This is John Bollinger. Peace out.
See ya.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.